conversations on life, style, beauty, and relationships. It's the Velvet's Edge podcast with Kelly Henderson.
Okay, so I am back with Katie Gustafson. Did I do it?
Nailed it.
Okay, I've gotten really good at that one. She was on our podcast a couple months ago, I guess that was. You're the licensed clinical therapist that uses the Enneagram in your practice. And I got so much positive feedback because so many people that listen to this podcast are really into the Enneagram, as am I. So you and I decided to keep the conversation going because I think there are so many different layers to the Enneagram and we're going to keep diving into it. And so today we were going to talk about subtypes and wings, which we'll dive into in a second. But for those who might just be tuning into this podcast and they missed the last one, first of all, you guys go listen to that podcast because it was super helpful in breaking down each number of the Enneagram and why it's important to do and helpful to do in your life. But can you kind of go back, Katie, and give us just a quick refresher, like what is the Enneagram?
Sure. So my elevator pitch has changed a little bit over the years because I've just developed a different relationship with the Enneagram over the course of about 15 years. But, you know, it's mostly known as a personality typing system that teaches that there are 9 core personality types in the world, one of which we gravitated towards in early childhood. So each of these 9 personality types see the world really differently. And one way is not better or worse or right and or wrong. It's just kind of, it's just the water you swim in and your type. And so I over the years in my practice, you know, have really made a point to not just stay on kind of the surface level of personality type, but to actually use the Enneagram as a tool for transformation. And it really is just that. It is, in my opinion, a psycho-spiritual tool that we can use for deeper self-awareness and growth and self-development.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this a lot the last podcast, but I find it to be super beneficial in relationships, specifically that one sentence you just said that each number sees the world from a different perspective, right? And I feel like we as humans just assume that everyone sees things the same way. I know I find myself doing it all of the time in relationships, and it causes a lot of conflict within relationships, whether they're business or romantic or whatever, because you can take things personally when people handle things differently. But once you understand, oh, they're just an 8 and they're coming from this perspective and I'm a 4. And so I'm looking at it in this perspective. It kind of like helps you navigate that dynamic and then resolves conflict for me, at least.
Yeah. Well, and I think what it does too, Kelly, is it really gives us so much more compassion for ourselves and for other people, because you're right. You know, if I know about someone, you know, like let's use your example, like for example, an 8, you know, if I know what is motivating them in their personality, if I know that they're not just trying to suck on purpose or any other type for that matter,
yeah,
you know, there's actually a driving motivation that affects the way they behave, the way they think, the way they even speak and carry themselves, then all of a sudden I can kind of like let down my guard and be open to them and have compassion for them. And then of course, I mean, for ourselves, I just feel like the Enneagram is such a beautiful tool for self-compassion.
Totally.
Because it goes deeper than personality. It really tells us, you know, the why, the motivation behind how we think, our patterns of thought, our patterns of emotion, and our behavioral patterns as well. So there's just a whole lot of compassion baked in it as well that I feel like is just been such a gift to me using it both in my life and in my work.
Absolutely. I mean, when I read about my number, I am a 4, like I just said. But when I read about it, I think you kind of cringe sometimes at first because you're like, oh, I hate that part of my personality. But it also just, hearing someone else say it or seeing it written out, however you look at it, it kind of, the understanding piece, the compassion piece, like you're talking about, it opens up your whole world into growth, into navigating and understanding yourself, into maybe even understanding what your purpose is or where you should take your journey in this life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's such a great point, because every type, and we're going to learn every subtype, mm-hmm. has a really distinct growth path. Just like they have very distinct kind of subconscious patterns,
mm-hmm.
they also have very distinct growth paths. So that's what's so fun and so really empowering using the Enneagram, is that it's really not just about understanding our personality and the way we behave in life, but it's really to identify our personality, especially the limiting parts of our personality, so we can grow beyond those parts of our personality, so that we can open up to just a fuller, more just more balanced way of living, right?
Yeah.
We're not stuck in our little personality story, you know, and way of behaving and reacting, you know, so we can kind of grow beyond that. And that tends to be just such a powerful thing to use with clients, and obviously to just practice in our lives, is, you know, what is my specific growth path? What are my patterns, and how do I relax those
mm-hmm.
so that I'm more open to something better and open to something more loving?
Yeah, I love, this is a one little note, and then I really do want to get into the subtypes, but I could talk about this with you forever. But I love using it in therapy, because, you know, I've always looked at therapy as a way to understand why I do what I do, so mm-hmm. that the things either in my personality or my behaviors that are causing me problems in my life, I can grow through them. Where a lot of people, I think, look at therapy as like a punishment or whatever, when in reality, it's just like, no, we're actually just trying to understand ourselves, to be able to accept, love, have compassion for ourselves, and grow into the best version of ourselves.
Totally.
And the Enneagram is a huge tool for that, I believe. So I'm super, super glad you use it in your practice.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you guys want to know, if you're sitting here listening and you're like, well, I don't know my number, a great place to start would be the last podcast I did with Katie, because she broke down each specific number and some of the characteristics that are the driving forces behind each individual number, why they do what they do, kind of the descriptors. And so today we are going to break down wings and subtypes. And so people are probably like, either you know about this if you're an Enneagram person, or you're like, a do what? Like a wing, a subtype? What is that? So let's start maybe with subtypes. Is that the best way to go? Okay.
Yeah, I think I'd because I think subtypes are more helpful. I really want to dig into subtypes, and there's a little bit more kind of complexity to them. And a lot of people get mixed up and actually think, that our subtypes are our wings. And it's not a mistake, because there's actually lots of different theories about subtypes and about wings. And I have so much respect for so many Enneagram teachers. This is the way I learned subtypes. This is the way I learned to teach and use the Enneagram through coaching and therapy. And I feel like this picture of subtypes is the most comprehensive and the most practically helpful in terms of doing that self work and having that real growth path. So it is a bit of like a 2.0 kind of subject. It's a little complex. However, there's a way I think that we can understand it and break it down to not make it so. And, you know, it's just like, Kelly, you'll appreciate this. When you go to a paint store,
mm-hmm.
like if you've ever had to find the right white paint for your room or your house, there's not just one. There's 800 white paint colors, right? So one is not going to fit all the needs that we have, right? There's so many different variations of one color. You know, there's so many directions you could go. And they all depend on lighting and, you know, the size of the room or what have you. So I kind of use that as an example. Basically, subtypes are a more high definition way of typing. So okay. There's 9 core types. And within each type, there are 3 subtypes. So that actually multiplies to give us 27 subtypes. So we actually are not just bound by 7. By 9 types, we now have 27 types.
Okay.
If we're looking and talking about subtypes. Okay. And so let me just kind of explain how that works. So subtypes are based on this idea that we as human beings are governed by instinctual drives and mainly 3 instinctual drives. One is social, one is sexual, and one is self-preservation. And these instinctual animal drives are necessary for life on Earth, right? Like we need these. It's this animal wisdom that we all possess, right? So they're very unconscious. We're not really consciously thinking about them. The subtype is the instinctual drive that we are most governed by, mixed with our type's passion or our driving emotional pattern in our type. So for example, I'm a self-preservation 4. I think we talked about this.
Yeah.
I think, and you were too, right?
I think I might be. I was just reading about them and I'm not positive, but okay. I need to, I want to know how to figure that out. So that we'll get to that too. But you and I are both 4s. And so what you're saying, if I'm understanding correctly, is if we have different subtypes, our flavor of 4 could look a little different as far as what we identify with as the driving force behind our personality.
Correct.
Okay.
So yes. And we'll get to that in more detail. So basically, if you combine our dominant driving kind of instinctual drive and the passion of our type, which every type, every one of the 9 types has a basic emotional pattern or passion. So for 4s, it's envy, right?
Mm-hmm.
For 2s, it's pride. For 7s, it's gluttony. So that passion mixed with the dominant instinct that we have, creates our subtype.
Oh.
And so that's kind of where we come up with subtypes. Now I want to go a little bit deeper into kind of what they are and why they matter. So this basic instinctual drive that we all have, combines with this passion or this emotional pattern within our type to give us a much more high definition picture of who we are in our type. So, you know, there you can have 3 different 4s lined up and they could all look very, very different.
Hmm.
Right?
Okay.
Like 4s are not all the same. Just like the white paint color is not all the same. You're gonna have, you know, that's why especially type 6s are guilty of this as well. And it's a great example of why subtypes are so important. You can have 3 6s lined up and each of different subtypes within the 6 that look vastly different from each other. So one of the main reasons we use subtypes is because we can easily mistype ourselves with only using the 9 types, right? So here's a great example. Self-preservation 4s, which you're kind of flirting with, and that's my subtype. Self-preservation 4s can often be mistyped as 3s mm-hmm. or 7s or even 1s. But when we understand that this subtype within the 4 looks different than the other 2 4s, it's kind of a more like a sunnier 4, like a more kind of task focused, really kind of more high functioning in terms of doing and planning. we see that the self-preservation four doesn't even look really like the other two fours. It can look very different. And so because we now know more about the subtypes, we have this wealth of deeper nuance and complexity within the 27 that we don't get with just the nine.
Okay.
That makes sense.
It does make sense. But I'm now really debating if I'm a self-preservation four or not based off of that. But I guess my question, well, maybe I'll just let you keep going then, because
let me talk about the instincts really fast.
Okay.
And I'm going to break down the sexual or one-to-one, it's called, self-preservation and social. So those are three instinctual drives that we're working with.
Okay.
Those are the three instinctual drives that, you know, whatever you're dominant in, when that combines with the passion of a type, you kind of are now introduced to a new type, if you will. Some of the 27 subtypes aren't even in the original nine types because they're just so, it's such a great kind of close up picture of type that we don't get with the nine types. So here's the three instincts. I think this is probably going to help us because this is a little clunky, I feel like, at first. So self-preservation instinct, if that's your dominant, P.S., we have all three of these, but we're dominant.
Okay. That was going to be my question, because I feel like what you said, I'm like, oh, I feel like that sometimes, but not really consistently. So is it sort of the same as, I think we'll talk about this when we talk about wings, but you have a little bit of each thing. And so sometimes it shows differently within your personality, or one can be more dominant than the other.
Yes.
Okay.
So one is more dominant than the other, and one classically is more you than the other two throughout life, but they can shift in their sequence, right?
Right. Okay. So,
yeah, they can totally shift around throughout life and within the sequence that they're in. But we all have these three instincts. One is going to be dominant, and one is going to be repressed.
Okay.
And one is going to be in the middle. So, so the self-preservation instinct, as you probably could imagine, is this kind of preoccupation with safety and comfort and health and energy and well-being, especially in a physical sense, right? In a word, they're very concerned with having resources. Mm. So that drive, if it's self-preservation, is going to look more like that.
Okay.
So the sexual instinct, or the one-to-one, and just because it's called sexual instinct doesn't really mean it's all about like the act of sex. It's really more about like this preoccupation with this like intensity, intense drive for stimulation and bonding, this kind of constant awareness of chemistry, being, you know, one-on-one with a person or a small group of people. They're very attraction focused, or notice the lack thereof, if there's a lack of attraction. And they, you know, they're the most energized of all the instincts. So this, if it's your top, you're just going to be a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more intense. And it's about that bonding experience in life and kind of furthering this, like, you know, this like human development kind of creation almost, but it's not necessarily in a sexual sense. It's very much just in an energetic sense.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the sexual. The social instinct, is governed by this preoccupation with how they relate to the group or don't relate to the group. Mm-hmm. And it's about adapting themselves to serve the needs of whatever social kind of situation they're in. So social types are really aware of people and people and situations and groups and how they relate to those groups as well. Social instinct seeks personal connection Whereas the sexual instinct seeks personal intimacy. So all about connection. They tend to be warmer, a little bit warmer than the other two, and more open and engaging. So it kind of goes along with the name social.
Yeah.
It's all about how they, you know, how they kind of fit into the group or don't fit in. And then this sexual instinct is governed by, you know, this intensity, this energy, this bonding energy, and, you know, a very kind of intimacy driven instinct. And then of course the self-preservation is all about like keeping personal well-being and safety and security and having resources for a good life.
Okay. I have a question. So you said every number has all three of these.
Right.
Can you, if each person has all three of them, one is just more dominant than the other, can you have different relationships bring out a certain subtype? Like, because what you just said, I genuinely identify with all three in different scenarios in my life. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Totally. And I think they vacillate, right? Like, I mean, in college, I was probably more of a social.
Right.
Subtype. That was probably my like higher, you know, when I first like started dating my husband, I was probably more like wanting to bond and have that
right.
more develop intimacy, you know. But it, you know, as a rule in my mind, we have one that tends to be higher than the other two consistently.
Okay.
So it's really about looking back and kind of scanning the course of our lives and asking ourselves, which instinct has felt the most driving for me?
Okay.
Which has felt the most dominant? And, you know, it's nothing to, the first step is finding your type, you know, find, you know, what your type is. And there's so many resources to do that. I think we talked a lot about those in the last episode. You know, the second step is understanding and getting a picture of what the subtypes are, because a lot of times that first step of getting typed, sometimes we mistype based on the fact that, you know, we aren't aware of all these subtypes that are available to us that give us just a higher definition picture of what our type actually is.
Right.
So that's why like doing the work of the subtypes, even just learning about the subtypes after we've kind of got an idea of our dominant type is so important. It just helps give us more nuance and a straighter growth path, because each of the 27 have very, very strategic growth paths, into bringing in more balance. Right. And so if we are dominant in one instinct, like I'm using myself again as a self-preservation four, I know that the one that gets left out a lot in my life is the social. And so I have to be mindful of bringing balance where there's imbalance. So we learn how to work with the subtypes when we understand what's our top and what's our lowest, because a lot of the powerful work that we can do is, again, it's all about bringing balance where there's imbalance within our type.
Okay.
And because instincts are so subconscious, mm-hmm. there's such a gift in even learning about the subtypes, learning about the instinct, and learning about, as a result, what our subtype is, because it brings this fresh awareness to a part of our lives we've been unconscious to, really.
Yeah, I was reading, when I was researching about subtypes, a lot of people say sometimes it's even easier for a partner or a friend to kind of help you in your awareness of your subtype, because it's so subconscious that we might not even be able to identify some of those behaviors within ourselves in a true capacity.
Totally. No, I'm glad you said that because you nailed it. Because these are unconscious instinctual drives that are kind of merging with this unconscious emotional habit that we have in our type, a lot of times we're asleep to it.
Right.
So people around us have a much better view into what's happening oftentimes than we do, which is really fascinating.
Talk me through a little bit about, you mentioned there's a driving force for each number, right? Like I'll keep using the four as the example, but hopefully you guys are okay with that. But that's because Katie and I are both four, so it's an easy one for us. But so a four, for instance, you said envy, which I hate that about the four. Like I hate that part of my personality, but I think it is true. How does that play in, or what's the connection with the subtype? Is the subtype driven by that driving force?
Yes. So,
okay.
So yeah, this is a really great thing. And again, this is why this is more kind of like a complex kind of deeper dive into the Enneagram because it's a little heady. So every type has what's called a passion. And the passion of each type is the emotional pattern that we get stuck in that kind of drives our whole character structure.
Okay.
So if you look at all of them in a list, it's basically the seven deadly sins plus two others. So, you know, so every type has, you know, type fours, envy, type fives, avarice or greed, type sixes, fear, type sevens, gluttony, type nines, inertia or sloth, type one, anger, type two, pride, type three, deceit. So every type has a passion, and this emotional pattern, again, a lot of times we're unconscious. They're so subconscious that's what I love about the Enneagram, is that when we start to learn about our character structure and what makes that up, and really kind of this seminal part of our character structure ends up being the passion, because it really does drive us forward in our a lot of our kind of patterns, right?
Right, right.
So taking this emotional pattern or passion, when that passion merges with one of the three instincts, that's our top instinct, we're given our subtype.
Okay.
And so basically we have, again, 27 subtypes, three versions of all nine types, and which then give us more definition. And they help us type ourselves with more clarity.
Okay.
And here's another thing, because, you know, not all fours look the same, not all sixes look the same, not all eights look the same, you know, social eights sometimes get mistyped as type twos. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, there's just so many different examples, that we could dig into, and we don't have time, but suffice it to say, we have so much more exactness using subtypes. If we take the time to really read and understand, there's some tests out there that I really appreciate that I feel like do a really good job in terms of helping us nail down our subtype. And so, you know, it's so much more helpful because we have now 27 growth paths. We have this very, very defined path that we can use in our self-development, you know. And also, again, they tell us why two people in the same type look totally different.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of benefit, you know. Typing, it's, you know, and I do a lot of typing interviews with people. People will just kind of, you know, hire me to help them find their type through a typing interview. And we really do look at not just the nine types, but we look at the 27 subtypes, because that's going to give them the most clarity in terms of, you know, the nuances within their type, but also their growth path.
Yeah. And I love the part about the balance being so important, because even understanding the different subtypes can help you see where you're operating from maybe in your personality and like, oh, that's the driving force behind that behavior. And some of them you'll probably like, and some of them you probably won't. And that's okay, because there can be growth to where you can integrate a little bit better into each subtype and find a little more balance. I love that. Okay. So wings. This is the other part. And I think people talk a little more freely about wings, as you said earlier. It's a more heavily discussed thing. But each number has two wings, but it's the dominant versus the non-dominant again. And we're looking for balance, right, within our wings. Let's explain what a wing is. Let's backtrack and like start from the beginning and do exactly what you just did with the subtype. Tell the people what a wing is.
Okay. So if you think about an airplane, right, it has two wings. That helps the airplane get from point A to point B. It would be really useless if we did not have two wings and only had one.
Yes.
So we have a dominant wing, and that can vacillate again. You know, there's a lot of theories around that, but wings flavor your type essentially.
Okay.
And I don't like to focus on wings because I don't think there's as much depth to them. Basically, if you look at the Enneagram symbol, you will find nine types, and obviously there are two types that flank each type. So for us fours, we have three wing and we have a five wing. Mm-hmm. And so basically, those wings are helpful in understanding, which wing characterizes us more than the other. So I think you and I probably both have stronger three wings.
Yeah, I definitely do.
And so that's helpful information, because it kind of helps us understand, you know, okay, I've got this five wing and this three wing. These are very familiar, but also they might be in conflict with our type. So, you know, whenever we feel like, oh, that's really odd, I'm doing this kind of out of character thing. And well, it might be because of the wing, the stronger wing that you kind of lean more towards.
Oh.
So it's, you know, when people say I'm a two wing seven, there's no such thing as that.
Like, I've always said that. People say that, like, that kind of stuff all the time. And I'm like, what? Do I just completely misunderstand that?
Well, I think it's just not been, because there are so many theories, there's so many different teachers and teachings, it gets confusing. And let's face it, like, Instagram is probably not the best place to learn the ins and outs of the Enneagram, because it's just very, very high level kind of optics of our personality typically.
Yeah.
But you know, no one is a pure type, right? We all have all of the types within us. We have a dominant type, and it's interesting because our dominant type is actually connected to four other types on the Enneagram pretty intimately. So I'll use us, for example, again, a four. We have two wings, a five, mm-hmm. and a three that we're connected to, but we also have, you know, two lines connecting us to other types. So we also have a very important relationship with the 1.1 and with 0.2. And so all of that is meant to help us understand our type more, understand how we are unique in our type, and basically to excavate kind of a growth path forward. It adds some important and sometimes kind of contradictory elements to your kind of total personality. And in some ways, your wing is kind of the second side of your personality. Just don't think that, you know, so for example, I'm a four with a three wing. If you ask me, hey, what's your type? Oh, I'm a four with a three wing. Okay, well, so that tells me something, but you don't know what part of the three I really resonate with. You don't know kind of, there's so much about the three, you know, that could be anything. So it really just doesn't give you the high definition that the subtypes give.
Okay. That makes sense.
It's a flavoring, right? It's like going to the ice cream store and having like vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, and then you have all these different kind of flavorings around them.
Like combinations. Yeah. Well, I do think it's a funny point that you make about the two numbers that you're next to completely being in conflict with your personality. Because like, I think about an 8, for instance, which is the challenger, right? And then on the other side of that is a 9, which is the peacemaker. And it's like, how does that work? That's like such a funny combination. But it just goes to show that we all have all of these different facets to our personalities. I think certain people, certain dynamics, certain times in our life all bring out different things. Our health level, like how emotionally healthy we are, how in touch with ourselves we are, all of those things play into which part of our personality is really thriving or really showing up in every day. It could be for me every hour sometimes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so fascinating.
It really, really is. And I mean, all of these things are so meant to just really support us in our self-awareness. And
yeah,
it's a way of paying attention to our personality. It's a way of paying attention to our patterns. So as to kind of buy into them, but to really ask ourselves, is this working for me or not?
You know,
if it's not, let's change the story here, because you know, this is not especially life-giving and supportive. And guess what? I can totally rewrite my story if I want to. I don't have to
stay. Absolutely.
So it gives this kind of, it just gives this great big kind of glossary of, you know, really helpful ways in which to grow and ways in which to pay attention, both subtypes and wings. And wings, I mean, again, they're resource points on the framework of the Enneagram, just like the lines are.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a theory that kind of says that we lean more heavily on one wing in the first half of life and more heavily on the other wing in the second half of life. I think that is really fascinating. I mean, I see how that could work.
Yeah.
You know, there's also probably something that I really love to do with clients is taking both of the wings and using them for personal transformation by integrating one at a time, the helpful characteristics of both wings into our type. So kind of taking that counterclockwise wing, which would be the 3, and infusing some of those like higher personality, higher traits of the 3 into the 4's experience to kind of sharpen us and help us be more, you know, action oriented or whatnot. But then also using the 5 point or the clockwise wing and also integrating some of those qualities that are so helpful if we use them consciously. Just really a cool way to work with the wings as well.
Yeah, I actually really buy into that because I was sitting here thinking, we both just said we have a more dominant 3 wing. And I actually do believe that has been true, especially I would say in my last 10 years, the real achiever part of the 3, I've been very driven by that. And I actually really appreciate that for the 4 personality. Cause if I didn't have it, I would get real stuck in the emo part of the 4 and just all the feels and not actually taking the action steps, you know? However, we're sitting here really dissecting and learning and doing all those things. And that's more of a 5, you know, like I could read about this stuff all day. I could, you know, go to a different book, listen to a different podcast, really absorb as much information as I possibly can contain. And that is a part of the 5 personality that I really appreciate also.
Totally.
Yeah. So you can use all of them to your benefit.
They're all resources. They're
yeah.
all those points.
So how you mentioned a couple tests, and I am going to put all of this stuff on velvetsedge.com for you guys, because I know it's a lot of information to digest, but where can people figure out what their subtype is? I think a wing is a little more simple to figure out, just based off of, you can kind of go, okay, I'm a 4, I have a 3 and a 5 on the other side, but where can we go figure out our subtypes and our wings?
Yeah. Well, I mean, my favorite place always, which is the least immediate, is self-study.
Okay.
There are some books that I think the the most comprehensive book on subtypes, it's my favorite Enneagram book, and it's become like a Bible for me, is called The Complete Enneagram.
Okay.
It's like the path, the 27 paths to self-growth or development, something like that. But Beatrice Chestnut is the author. She is just an incredible, incredible author and just inspired teacher. That book is how I would start if I were really wanting to deep dive. Now, there's other ways. I mean, there's several personality type tests on, you know this, on the internet. Yes. You can go and find lots of them. However, I don't know that the majority of them are very helpful or accurate. So there's a couple. One is actually just about to drop. Beatrice is about to release. And she, by the way, has done most of the work with subtypes. She's really brought subtypes to the forefront really since the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And so she's kind of the world's leading expert on subtypes, in my opinion.
Okay.
And she's developed a test that I'm probably going to have to give you next week. I don't know when this is going to drop, but I'll give you the name of that test, and we can maybe put that in the show notes or something, because yeah. It's to me, I think that's going to be like revolutionary to have that test, because it's going to really test everything. The other one that is live that you can go take, it's a little expensive. It's like $60, but it's very, very comprehensive. And that is the IEQ 9. Oh. I'll also give you that. Have you taken that one?
That's how I figured out I was a 4, was the main test for that, because I mistyped. Like I kept testing as a 2, and I was like, I'm not a 2. I know I'm not a 2. Yeah. But then that was the I-9, I guess. Is that the bigger test? Okay. Nine. Yes. And that was the one that I figured out I was a 4. So he has a subtype test as well.
Yeah. To my knowledge, it's the same test. I know.
I may need to go look back in my printout then, because the cool thing about that test is they give you such an in-depth breakdown. To me, it was worth every penny, because it dissects how you act in a relationship. I'm sure it does talk about a subtype, and there was just so much information. I didn't fully process it yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really helpful.
You may go back and look at it, because because it's such a long printout, like,
right.
You're like me, you probably like went through the first 10 pages and you're like, sweet, we're good.
Yeah.
There might be some subtype stuff in there too.
Okay, cool.
Those are the two tests that I think I trust the most. That book, Beatrice's book is like, I think that's like the one-stop shopping for type, subtype things. It's just the history of the Enneagram. It's a beautiful book.
Fantastic. Okay. So you mentioned the book, we talked about the test. I also want to know where people can find you. And especially if you're in Nashville, or I don't know if you do virtual sessions, but if you're looking for a therapist that really integrates the Enneagram into her practice, Katie is definitely that. So tell people where they can find you.
Yeah. So I do definitely work virtually. I do a lot of Enneagram coaching. And I do a lot of therapy using the Enneagram too. And I kind of like differentiate those things, like doing the work of therapy is kind of looking back and looking at your past and your story and your trauma, and really, just kind of bringing some like hopeful healing to that space. Mm-hmm. And then really using the coaching, you know, after that process. Coaching is such an amazing kind of solution focused way to put the Enneagram to work in your life and really achieve your goals and your desired outcomes using this tool. So both are so important. My website is katiegustafson.co. And on Instagram, I'm at katiegustafson.co. I'm trying to think. I also have an Enneagram-based self-care kind of monthly program that offers a toolkit of of tools that are Enneagram based that help kind of support your self-care journey and kind of take all the guesswork out of that. And it's called The Practice. And you can find that on my website as well. And there's an Enneagram test that comes along with that membership. So it's a great way to kind of begin that journey of Enneagram. And but yeah, that's kind of where I am.
I love that. And as I mentioned earlier in this podcast, Katie's going to be back on the Velvet's Edge podcast regularly to kind of dissect and dive deeper into the Enneagram with us. So whatever questions you guys have, email me at kelly@velvetsedge.com, or you can slide into my DMs on Instagram at Velvet's Edge. We want to know what y'all are finding interesting, what's resonating with you. Also just what you are like, what about this Enneagram stuff? Because it's so much sometimes, but it's so good and so fascinating. So we're just going to keep talking about it. I do think these breakdowns really help though, because if you hadn't explained subtype, I don't think I would have ever even looked into that, you know?
Yeah. Well, so, and I want to just like circle back and just make sure I take care of everyone listening. Like, this is a lot to metabolize and it is confusing. And even if you try to break it down 200 times, it's not like an instant gratification, immediate process. It really is like the process of self-discovery is learning your type, learning your subtype, doing the work to come to that insight, which I think is so, so important and so fun, honestly. But yeah, if you're confused, you're in the right space.
Keep coming back.
We're going to get more clarity as we go.
Amazing. Katie, thank you so much for being here again. And thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see y'all next time.
Thanks for listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast with Kelly Henderson, where we believe everyone has a little velvet and a little edge. Subscribe for more conversations on life, style, beauty, and relationships. Search Velvet's Edge wherever you get your podcasts.